Galatians chapter 5. We are in a series on spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. We'll be using this text as our primary text as we take a look at the fruit of the Spirit. We'll be looking at each, I don't really want to say each fruit because it's collective fruit and it's not fruits, but it's fruit. All of these things are a byproduct of the Spirit's presence in our lives. But verse 16 says, I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Wow, that is a promise for us believers that if we will walk by the Spirit, we will walk in victory. We'll not walk by the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Thank the Lord for that, because the law only proclaims death. So we're under grace, we're under the ministry of the Spirit. Now the deeds of the flesh are very evident. They don't hide themselves. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit's presence is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, the law has absolutely nothing to say. That's what Paul is saying. The law has nothing to say because it's spiritual. It is the origin of these. This fruit is the Spirit of God. Now, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. Father, I pray that today the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, may only what you desire to be said, Lord, be said today. Lord, would you help me not to chase rabbits, but Lord, only, Lord, focus on what you would have us to hear today. Thank you that you are interested in us growing up into the fullness of your Son, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would just so awaken us as your people to the need for us to continually become like Jesus. We love you and we bless your name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Before we can get into each, let's call them fruits, but it's really the wrong terminology. But each one of those, love, joy, peace, I want to examine each one of those. We really have to understand repentance, because you will never spiritually mature unless you repent. Unfortunately, repentance has been given a bad name. For some, repentance is a bit distasteful. I do not like Brussels sprouts. So if you ever invite me over, please don't make Brussels sprouts. I'll do my best to eat them, but I just cannot stand them. I'm a professional, so I could probably get down a couple of them, but they are just nasty. My daughter and wife are really into kale. Do you know what kale is? Kale is, it's like a dry, bad essential oil. I mean, it's just awful. It's just nasty stuff. And my daughter puts it in everything. She made chocolate chip cookies. I was so excited. I thought, oh, finally, something normal. And it was kale in the chocolate chip cookies. Kale smoothies. It's terrible. I think some of us have that thought about repentance, that it's very, very distasteful. We're not interested. Hey, Pastor, I did that a long time ago when I got saved, and I went through that and had to kind of expose myself to everybody and tell everybody that I'm a wretched sinner and ran to the altar and prayed and sought God, and whoo, I was glad that was over, that I don't have to do that anymore. Now, that was a glorious day, I will tell you, when you came to know Jesus. But I will also tell you this, your life in God should be many, 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 many times of repentance. Repentance is God's gift to us. Romans 2:4 says this, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and the tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to repentance?" It is not the sternness of God that leads to repentance, it is the kindness of God. It is not the angry, bony finger of God pointed at you, the mad ogre in the sky, saying, "Repent," that leads you to repentance. It is the kindness, it is the tolerance, it is the patience of God that ultimately leads you to repentance. I think some of our misunderstanding about repentance probably comes from this character by the name of John the Baptist. Do you remember him? He's that locust-eating, bad hair day, funny-dressed, you know, weird guy running around in the desert who we think was kind of yelling at people all the time. And he did have his things to say toward religious leaders that were not very nice. But if we're not careful, we will get an understanding of repentance as something very distasteful, and that it really is a mad, stern God who is continually watching us with his binoculars for us to do something wrong, to shout from heaven, "You need to repent." And instead of welcoming repentance, we shy away from it. Admitting that we are wrong and welcoming the Lord to straighten out our thinking and our lives is a lot better than pretending that we're just fine the way we are. It's healthy to say, "Lord, I'm wrong again. I would like to just go on record as saying," and I think it's on Facebook as well, live, "I just want to tell you that your interim pastor has issues. I have issues. I'm not going to go into my issues, but I have issues. I have issues that the Lord is putting his finger on. It's not a bony, mean finger. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is always firm but welcoming." I marvel how the Holy Spirit can do that. And as I have been of late in this posture to just say, "Lord, search me, try me, see if there be anything in me that is wrong, that is evil, and lead me in the way of everlasting." And I will tell you this, if you will pray that prayer, the Lord will start putting his finger on things. I was in a board meeting the other day here, and I said something, and sometimes when I step into these interim roles, I start feeling like a kind of a shepherd with a crook, and I want to be... So I get sort of defensive of the sheep, you know, and I feel like something's happening where maybe there's interest in a certain issue that aren't maybe above board or something. I sense I just want to get right in there, and I felt a little firm, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit just said, "That's not me, Paul." And I was so thankful, after kind of embarrassed, I didn't say anything to the board, we were talking about a lot of things, but I just felt arrested in my spirit that you came really close to saying something that would have been very grievous to me and very grievous probably to the other individuals around the table. And he reminded me of this. He said, "Paul, First Assembly is not your church, it's mine. And though he has put me in a position to be a shepherd, to guard the sheep, and I will do that task that is entrusted to me, ultimately you've got to know the limits when you say, 'Lord, this is your baby, and I need you to take this.'" But the Lord arrested me. He just spoke to me and put his finger on that, and we had a little session on the drive back to the cabin where I'm staying, saying, "Oh Lord, I don't want that to be true of me. Here I am again." The other day I had some Mexican food and they were touting it as, you know, this is authentic Mexican. And, you know, when you go in those places, you realize that that the authentic Mexican has also been culturalized. Now, that's not a word, but it should be. But it's been culturalized so that it's like American Mex that we can stand. Because if you've ever been to Mexico, you're eating this like, well, where's my American Mexican food? It's like, this is totally different. And I realize things get culturalized based on kind of where we live, even in certain geographical regions. And as I was thinking about that, sitting at this Mexican place, eating this supposedly authentic Mexican place, which was different than the last, quote, authentic Mexican place, about 10 miles away, I realized that Christianity can also get culturalized. And if I don't maintain an attitude of repentance, to be open, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me about how we do church, about what I'm hearing in your word, about my life? Is there anything at all? Because I can get culturalized thinking, oh no, I got that. That's fine. Everything is good. I've already successfully completed that. And I think the Lord is wanting to revisit areas of our lives that we think are okay, but they've been culturalized. So that we think they're okay, but if the Lord was really to speak in those issues, they would not be okay. Beware of being seduced by the lie that says, the more spiritual I am, the less repenting I will do. We have this funny idea that the real measure of spirituality is determined by the lack of things that we need to repent of. And that's just not true. Spirituality is not about having everything together. Real spirituality is a willingness to constantly be learning all the things that Jesus wants to teach me. Again and again and again. We must never recommend ourselves to the Lord. But let me give you a biblical definition of repentance. This is not on the screen. We'll have your answers here in just a minute. But there are a couple lines, some notes in your bulletin there if you're taking notes. The biblical definition of repentance, it's two words. The Hebrew word is shuv, S-H-U-V, and the Greek word is metanoia. Now, that really doesn't help you at all since most of us don't speak those languages, but that's basically the two words that are used to define this. Old Testament, shuv, New Testament, metanoia. Here's what it means. It's a series of definitions: to turn back, to turn oneself, to turn around, to return, to be converted, to restore, to refresh, to backtrack, and to recede like floodwaters. It is never haphazard. Without deliberate action on turning to what is right, we will find ourselves led to direct confrontation with something that is wrong. Do you remember that movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? And I'm really hesitant to bring this up because it's my understanding, I never saw it at the theater, that it's rated R. And I just want to tell you, I just don't frequent R-rated movies. So please, if you go look it up, you're like, I can't believe our pastor, he needs to repent, you know. I saw it on TV and they'd edited that out. But there's a real funny part where John Candy and Steve Martin, they're going down the wrong way on the highway, and the car on the other side, who's going the right way, is trying to tell them, you know, roll your window down, you're going the wrong way. And they keep telling, and John Candy's like, oh, you're drunk, you know, leave me alone. And you're going to die. You're going to kill somebody. That's what repentance is. Repentance, it's the Holy Spirit saying to you, you're going the wrong way. Ultimately, you're going to spiritually kill yourself. Turn around and go the right way. You are headed in a direction and to a place that will only bring you heartache and harm. You're going the wrong way. So if the Holy Spirit seems firm, and he can seem very firm sometimes with his conviction, it's because you're going the wrong way. And he doesn't want you to end up in a place that you will suffer eternally if you don't turn. Here's some examples of repentance. Repentance means to turn and trust the good news. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the words of Jesus. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Turn and trust. embrace this way and trust that God will work. Friends, there is no contingency plan for salvation and spiritual growth. Confession, repentance, forgiveness. Confession, repentance, forgiveness. Confession, repentance, forgiveness. There aren't other words that I can put in there. That is God's way to get us back on track, to first of all enter into spiritual life. Once we've entered into spiritual life, the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we do what? Confess our sins. So that the plan has never changed. There's no contingency plan. You have to turn from what you're doing, and you have to embrace the good news and head in a different direction. It means to return to the place of departure. Here's a couple of ways in the Old Testament this word is used. God said it to Adam and Eve. He said, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return, till you repent to the ground. You go back to the place where you came from. That's the idea of repentance. You're off somewhere where you shouldn't be. Get turned around. Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to the dust you will repent. You will return. Esau returned. He repented. He returned on his way to Seir. 2 Kings 20, do you remember that great story when the king is asking, could we just have you do something spectacular here, Lord, and let's have this shadow move backwards? Come on, God, just have it move backwards, some extraterrestrial thing. And Hezekiah says, it's easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow repent backward 10 steps. That's the idea. You're heading back to the place of departure. Probably the best illustration of this is found in Luke 15. You won't find this on the screen, but you remember the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, if you don't remember it, it's about two sons and one son who squandered his inheritance. He said, you know, I'm kind of done hanging out with Dad. Could I have all my money now? I'd like to go feel my oats and do my own thing. And so he went out and he ended up in a very bad place, squandered all his money. And from the pigsty of life, he cries out, I remember how great it was back home. If I could just get back home to Father. I'm out of money, and things aren't like I thought they would be. He comes to his senses, the scripture says, conviction, and he returns to Father. Repenting is not what he did in the pigsty. That's confession. Oh, God, forgive me, help me. Things aren't the way they're supposed to be. That's declaring your situation. That's a confession. Repentance was when he started back home. He was repenting. He was in the process of repenting. And friends, we need to understand, I keep looking at this line and I always, it plays with me. So if I ever fall down, don't freak out. I've got a lot of insulation and don't, you know, Sarah will bring me back to life and it'll be fine. It'll roll down these steps. It's a little dark here is the problem. Getting used to the, I need some kind of a tape here that's fluorescent or something, but funny. What were we talking about? The pig pen. Yeah, coming back home. This happens when I, so much for the don't chase rabbits prayer. So he comes back home, and we have to understand that repentance is more than just, okay, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Actually, that's confession. Repentance is a process. So, I told you the Lord convicted me about something that I was about to say, and I think even the way that I said it. And so I'm in the process of repenting. I asked the Lord to forgive me, but the repenting is I want to come back home to God. I want Him to do a work in me, and I don't want that to happen again, but I know I'm in the process, so I'm praying that as I'm tempted to do that again, I will be more sensitized and I won't do that. See, I'm in the process of that whole growth thing. So the son was in the process of repenting, and what he needed to do was go home to Father. Oh, Father, forgive me. And what did Father do? Father ran and threw his arms around his son and said, welcome home. The son that was lost is now found. And he threw a robe around him and gave him a ring, and they killed the fatted calf, and they're like, oh, my son is home. And what a picture that is of God when we repent. The Lord is saying, I've been waiting for this. He's not saying, finally. And if this happens again, don't you dare come running home again. And maybe you've heard that from your earthly parents, right? We've done this 3 times. We're not doing it again. And so you want to stay away, right? But the Lord is right there to welcome us, saying, okay, let's go again. And you exchange your filthy rags for the garments that he has, and you start again walking in the victory that he has for you. Thirdly, it means to restore. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, which means it is complete, it lacks nothing. The law of God, the word of God, is exactly the way it's supposed to be. We don't add, we don't subtract to it. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. So the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. That's repent, that's shuv. Repenting restores you. Restores you back to the way that God wants you to be. Every work of God begins with his Spirit. You got saved because the Holy Spirit drew you to himself, the Bible says. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit is still active in your life. In fact, he lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the very beginning that the Spirit of God brooded or hovered over the face of the water, over the chaos. And then creation took place. The Spirit of God was involved in creation, bringing order out of everything that needed to be brought into order. In this repentance process, the Holy Spirit not only convicts us and convinces us of our wrong, but he broods over the areas of the chaos of our life, things where they're not the way they're supposed to be. And he begins to restore us. So any genuine work of God will always involve his Spirit from beginning to end. Paul would say this in Galatians 3, you foolish Galatians, are you now trying to complete in the flesh what God began in the Spirit? Having began with this incredible spiritual awakening, are you now trying to go back under the law? He says, may it never be. Live out your life now by the Spirit of God. When I travel abroad, I've been to a few places, not a whole lot. I'd like to travel more, but like you, probably you don't have the money to travel more. But I love to travel, enjoy that. Cindy and I enjoy that. I've been on several mission trips and love that. Always life-changing. But when we go somewhere, we take our American dollars and we go to this little booth, either the bank when we arrive or we go to this booth at the airport. You know what it is? It's a currency exchange place, right? And you give them your American dollars and you give it to them, and they have a fee usually associated with it, but there's also this rate that's up there. So the dollar equals so many shekels or so many shillings or so many cronies or so many pounds or euros or whatever, and you exchange it, right? When we repent, we're taking the rags of our life to exchange it. Do you remember the verse in Isaiah, which is so powerful? He will give you beauty for ashes, right? There's an exchange that goes on. So you take, and when I go to that booth, the lady's not there, you know, what do you want? I mean, she knows I'm there to exchange money, so they're usually quite friendly. Sometimes they say nothing. But friends, when you take back yourself to God because you need to repent of something, the Lord says, oh, I'm glad you're here. Give me that. You've come back to me. Now here's what I'm going to give to you. I'm going to forgive you, number one, but now I'm going to give you supernatural ability to begin to grow in this area so that Christ is more formed in your life. There's a conversion process that goes on. Friends, we've got to stop trying to live for God and learn to live from God. Our striving to live for him only brings defeat, but when we keep bringing ourselves back to the author of our salvation and say, Lord, I've got issues here, he doesn't tire of that conversion, and he says, let's go again, because God is very interested in his son being formed in you. Number four, to forsake one's way and return to the Lord. I'll just read Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. You've got to forsake in order to repent. He will have compassion on him, and the Lord our God, he will abundantly pardon. There are things that we have to let go of in order to repent. You can't hang on to fear. You can't hang on to your fear and repent at the same time. You repent of fear. You let it go. You repent of unforgiveness. You repent of anger. You repent of pride. You repent of other sins of the flesh. You say, Lord, I'm letting that go, and I'm going to pursue the life that you want me to live. And you go back to Father. You forsake and you let it go. Number 5 just simply says, what have I done? Now listen to this powerful verse. I listened and I heard. They have spoken what is not right. No man repented. There it is. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course like a horse charging into battle. Do you know if you change the inflection when you say, what have I done? It means two different things. What have I done? How could I hurt you that way? Forgive me. What have I done? But how many times have we said, what have I done? Those are the same words. Completely different meanings. Repentance says, what have I done? God, forgive me. What have I done? Lead me in the way of everlasting. What have I done? We're tempted to make all kinds of excuses. I'm really good at this in our marriage. Oh, Cindy will point out something and she's dead on. And I'll go into attorney mode. Well, according to this statute of our marriage agreement, blah, 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 blah. And man, I can lay out this great argument and she'll say, stop justifying your behavior. But honey, I want some credit. Just 20% right, you know. She says, stop it. And she's right. You can't do that with God. God, I'm 80% wrong, but you know, 20%, I had every right to smack that guy, you know? No, 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 no. Oh, Lord, what have I done? Do you remember when David messed up? He was late in life. He messed up big time when he numbered the people. He was kind of counting his money to see how rich he was. Remember that? And the Lord, the judgment of God came, and God actually comes to him and says, what do you want? You want a plague? You want a bunch of people to die? And David says, Lord, you choose. You choose. David wasn't going to make excuses. He just said, Lord, have mercy on me, and you choose the punishment. I serve in the district office, and one of the awful things that we have to do and heartbreaking things is we intervene when ministers have some difficulties. And one of the things we're always looking for is repentance. Because it's so easy to make excuses. We say, what have I done? The last one is repentance brings refreshing from the Lord. I love this verse. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of what? Refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Repentance brings refreshing. The more we repent, the more refreshment we receive. I pastored, I think, 27, 28 years, something like that, before I moved in the district office. And ever so often, someone will come to me when I was pastor, and they say, you know, Pastor, man, I just got to go somewhere where I get fed. I just need to get fed. And I say, okay, you know, where you go, and love you, bless you, pray for them, and out you go. And after I talk to them a little bit, but often at that point, they've already made up their mind. And it always kind of grieved me that people have their binoculars out looking for the latest oasis instead of just a willingness to be obedient to the Lord. And if you want refreshing, friends, let me tell you this. It's not finding the latest meeting that's out there, though those are good, and I go to them. I don't go to a lot of them because I'm a shepherd here, right? This is where God has called me. But, and it's important, but listen, if you want refreshing, have a good season of repentance. When is the last time you repented? When is the last time you got in your prayer closet and said, Lord, okay, just me and you, how we doing? Anything, Lord, you pinpoint in my life, as I read your word, as you talk to me, anything at all, I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to repent of it. And I'm going to follow you more intently. And I will tell you this, friends, repentance like that will bring refreshment into your life. And that will do you more probably than any meeting that you can find. Because what's happening when we do that is you're allowing the person of Christ to be more formed in you. And can you think of anything more refreshing than a greater awareness of the presence of Jesus in your life? And that brings refreshing. Acts 17. These words, and then we're going to watch some people get baptized. Isn't that the coolest thing on the planet? Acts 17, you'll just have to listen to these words. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Because he, God, has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Let me illustrate this word. Paul is saying it with some great conviction. He's saying, I am calling all men, and God is calling all men to repent. Why? Because there is coming a day when judgment will happen. Right now, we are living in what I'd call an era of grace bombs. It's just grace blowing everywhere. Grace, 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 grace. But there will come a time when the Lord said, I will come back and I will judge. And the very words that I have spoken to you on the earth, he says, read it in John, those same words will be the words that will judge you. But right now, the Lord is saying, here is the lifeline. I throw it out to you. Will you repent? Will you take hold of that? Will you come to the Lord? Because now is the season of repentance. And so the Lord is inviting us to not only repent initially when we get saved, but he's inviting us as Christians, as believers, to continually repent.